Phoenix Audio presents
The Good Apprentice by Iris Murdoch. Read by Christopher Cazenove. Part 1. The Prodigal Son. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. These were not perhaps the actual words which Edward Baltram uttered to himself on the occasion of his momentous and mysterious summons, yet their echo was not absent even then, and later he repeated them often. The story begins, however, at an earlier point, on the evening in February when Edward played a disgraceful trick upon his friend and fellow student, Mark Wilsdon. The magisterial drug which transports its initiates to heaven or to hell, had been surreptitiously administered. Mark, who had so loftily disapproved and so peevishly refused, now lay a helpless victim, giggling and babbling upon the lamplit divan bed in Edward's small bedsitter upon the second floor of a shabby terrace house in Camden Town. Edward, no trip for him that evening, clad in his magician's robe of sober power, stood looking down. He had concealed the drug in a sandwich, and watched the metamorphosis with wicked triumph. His sole anxiety vanished as soon as it became clear that Mark was destined to have a happy journey. If he had sent his friend even temporarily to hell, he would have felt most uncomfortable. As it was, Mark's face, beautiful at any time, was transfigured by a luminous ecstasy. His brown eyes were large, his full, eloquent lips were red and moist, his skin glowing as if illumined from within. The drops of sweat upon his forehead, the hairs of his elegantly clipped moustache and beard stood out and shone as if his face had become a priestly mask inlaid with precious stones. With his longish head, he looked like an Egyptian king. He looked like a wide-browed, huge-eyed god. He was a god. He had become divine. He was experiencing the good absolute, the vision of visions, the annihilation of the ego. Edward had heard of this. Such insights could last a lifetime. Mark would be grateful to him later. Edward's own experiences, though picturesque and thrilling, had not been mystical. Mark, whom Edward admired and loved, was a mystical type. Edward, contemplating the transfiguration of his friend, felt quite faint with joy. Mark, who had been laughing continuously in a low, undulating, rhythmical giggle, which sometimes sounded like a sob, now began to concentrate. He thrust his lips out, as he often did when he was thinking. Edward?
Yes, Mark.
How things are.
Yes.
How they are. They are in themselves. They are, I say, in themselves. That's the secret.
Yes, indeed they are.
No, they are not just in themselves. They are themselves. Everything is itself. It is itself. But you know, there's only one.
Only one what?
Anything, everything is all together, like a big... It's shaggy.
Shaggy?
Edward.
Yes?
No. It's all scales, millions of scales and gills. I can see it breathing. It's a fish. I mean, everything is... It's all one big fish.
Edward tried to imagine the big, shaggy, scaly fish that was everything. But now his own visionary drug images, stirred up by sympathy, began to float by him, as if the little room had become a deep lake full of waving reeds and quaking amoebas with big eyes and dark, swollen forms bound in white ribbons. The raising of Lazarus, the creation of the world.
Oh, now it's pingling,
said Mark suddenly. He tried to rise a little, but fell back on the divan.
It's pingling. I can see the sky beyond. Oh, the light. All made of